Time now on our pregame show to visit with Tom Ceritori, head coach of the Beavers. Tom, looking back at last week's series in Huntsville, you may have not won any style points, but you did win. Are those teachable moments that you're showing on video easier to show when the team loses, where it maybe sinks in a little bit better than when the team does win and you're still trying to point out some flaws?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we obviously talked about certain things that we need to rectify. Like giving up 30 shots is too much. And we talked about that. So we got to defend a little quicker. We got to be a little bit more difficult to play against in the zone. We felt we were a little too loose against Huntsville. But, again, we won the game. But we just got to make sure, too, that we got to get back to some, you know, certain areas and certain parts of our game. Need to be a little crisper. But, no, it's great to use those examples when you've won a game.
Both nights last week you made it awful hard for them to pull their goalie. Game one, they never got him off the ice. Game two, they had about 30 seconds or so of extra attacker time. Was there one play that made those situations happen, or was it a collective group of keeping the puck in, getting the puck deep?
100%. The first night was, I thought we kept the puck low. We had possession in the zone, and we kept the puck low. And once we kept the puck low, we could keep pressure on the puck. And once we had F1 pressure on the puck, They had to make hurried plays. They had to make quick plays. They had to make plays that weren't there. And when there's plays that aren't there, it's a lot easier to defend. Your gapping's good. Maybe there's a miscue. Maybe we get the puck back. And once you get the puck back, get it deep again. Continue with good F1 pressure. Play a little higher with your F2 and F3. And we just kept the puck low, Schultze. And once we kept the puck low and we maintained some pressure, it was really hard to get into a rhythm. It was really hard for them to get off the ice.
Tommy Mock is named the WCHA Defensive Player of the Week, had 3 assists in Game 2, 4 assists on the weekend. It seems like when the league is handing out those defensive honors, it's always offensive accolades that they're honoring. As a coach, heck, even for fans, what do you look for to see that a defensive player is playing well, even if they never show up in the score sheet?
Well, you just know. I mean, you know who your shutdown guys are. You watch them night in and night out, how they block a shot, how they get a puck out of the zone, how reliable they are, how smart they are, how hard they battle. So, I mean, you know your guys. You know your money defensemen. It doesn't take long to know your money defensemen. I mean, certain guys just don't battle. They don't gap up. They're not as tight defensively as certain guys. That's just the way they are, and you're not going to change them. So you need all kinds, but – you know, as many guys as you have that can be difficult to play against and who defend hard,
should have been outside waiting.
The better you're going to be.
We've talked a lot about Owen Sillinger in the last couple of weeks, about his faceoff numbers, but as I looked, the national statistics, 5 of the top 10 guys in faceoff numbers this year are in the WCHA. As you're recruiting players, where does faceoff ability kind of stack up? And heck, not even just for centers, but centers are getting thrown out of the circle and you got to have a winger come into. Where do you grade, and how importantly do you grade faceoff ability?
Well, we probably don't. We don't recruit our faceoff ability, Schultze. Now, I'll say this. When we recruited Owen Sillinger, we knew that he was, you know, a player who had a lot of depth to his game. He was good on faceoffs. He could play in all situations. You know, and that helps. That helps. But if you think we're just sitting there saying, okay, we need a 70% faceoff guy, we're not doing that. But you also, certain guys, certain players have certain attributes that all their attributes, the best thing you can say about somebody is that they have no deficiencies. And, you know, there's certain players that just really are well-rounded hockey players. And if they're a well-rounded hockey player, that means that intangible, that attribute of taking faceoffs is typically pretty good.
Is that a teachable and learnable skill?
Yeah, for sure it is. But you got to practice it. But I think so much of being a good faceoff guy is attitude. It's a mentality. It's a mindset. It's a battle. And, you know, then there's no question. Is there technique that goes along with it? Absolutely. Is there quickness that goes along with it? Absolutely. But a lot of it, too, is a mentality and a mindset. And once you have that, you know, you're halfway home.
More with Coach Ceritori when we return. Pregame show continues here on the Beaver Radio Network. Welcome back to our pregame show here on the Beaver Radio Network, part 2 with head coach Tom Ceritori. Hard to believe, Tom, it's already been a year since Hockey Day, and you guys played Michigan Tech. And I listened earlier this week to a podcast that a Michigan Tech fan does each week, and just kind of see if they were here last year and were talking about it, and all of them said, we absolutely love that trip. You and I have talked a lot over the years. You wanted to play an outdoor game. You always told me you wanted it to be North Dakota. It was Tech. Looking back on it, how happy were you that it was Tech?
Well, again, the bottom line is I was really happy it was Tech. Because, again, to me, they're a rival. They were close. They bring such quality name recognition. They've had hockey since, you know what, since the beginning of college hockey time. So to me, if we're going to have a league, if we're going to have a league game be Hockey Day, I want it to be Michigan Tech. I didn't want it to be Mankato. I wanted it to be Michigan Tech. I wanted Mankato to be in our building. But I thought Michigan Tech was the next best thing. You want it to be one of those games that, to me, the fans know who Michigan Tech is what I'm getting at. And that added an element, that next element of excitement to the game. Not only the outdoor game, but who we were playing.
You haven't seen them since then. How have they changed in the last year?
Well, they're just a year older, just like we are. We're the same team. They're the same team, but they're a year older. They've got some freshmen who are pretty good. We got some freshmen who are pretty good. But we had a lot of young players last year. They had a lot of young players. So they're the same team, but a year older.
They've had a couple of new coaches now in the last decade. How long does it take you and your staff to get comfortable with a new coach and kind of how they want to go about a weekend?
Well, probably, you know, it does take a little bit, but not that long. I mean, first off, hockey, it's not like this, there's this, hockey's this unique game where everybody's just off the charts different. I mean, everybody's got their own way of doing things. There's no question. They all have a little bit of their own personality entrenched in their team. But it doesn't take too long, Schultz, because, again, it's not a sport that I don't think it, you know, it reeks with, you know, creativity. It's just, you know, there's two or three or four different nuances on the offensive side of the puck and the defensive side of the puck, and we've seen them all anyway. So, and a lot of times too, somebody like Joe, he was the assistant coach. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of similarities on how they played the game before as well.
There aren't too many Tech players whose their stats just jump off the page at me. As a collective group, they've got obviously some good numbers, but as you're watching them, who jumps off the screen at you?
I like Hallen at number 12. He's big. He's got a rocket of a shot, and he's got a good skill set. I like Brian Hallen at number 12. Trenton Bliss is a good player, number 28. Number two, Seamus Donahue, who's a junior defenseman. He's got a lot of talent. So, and they've got more. I mean, they got Bretschman. They've got more players. Again, they got 10 players who have double figures in points. So that means, again, they've got good balance to their team.
You currently have 37 points. I realize it's a long way to go before the finish, but if you had to guess, where do you need to be for home ice?
I don't know, Schultz. It changes every year because it's all about the complexion of the teams who are in the race. And we have six teams in the race right now for home ice. I think you're safe with 50. I think that would be a good safe number to say home ice at 50. But again, who knows? Every year can be different. I mean, you can sit there and take a look at the Pat, which I've done, and you probably have too, if you want to sit there and take a look. At fourth place in the WCHA over the last 6 or 7 years, how many wins has it been? You know what I mean? And it's probably been 16, 17 wins.
It's ballpark 45 to 48 points.
There you go. And again, this year maybe could be a little different. Who knows? Some of it's predicated on is the number one team having some losses or are they pulling away? You know what I mean? It's just there's so much. But I would say 50 points would probably be safe for home ice.
Right now you're plus 35 in goal differential. If you look at goal differential and look at spot in the standings, it's pretty much following right in line. Historically, is that the way it goes?
Yes, it does. It's crazy, but it does, Schultze. The goals for goals against differential is pretty darn spot on.
Your goals against is extremely low, lower than I can remember you guys have been in a long, long time. How much does that help both ends of the ice?
Big time, because it means you're spending less time in your zone and more time in the offensive zone.
Best of luck this weekend.
Thanks, Schultze.
Tom Ceratori, head coach of the Beavers. Starting lineups are next on the Beaver Radio Network.